This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We find that many of us common day Muslims, we look at certain practices or certain actions, and we unfortunately begin to neglect other practices or other actions. Or we think that if we do certain actions, it will suffice us, or it is sufficient for what we are doing. And what I'm referring to is that many, especially in our culture, that we find that we do certain things and we neglect other things inside our life. So some Muslims may pray 5 times a day, are vigilant about their prayers, but they have no element of kindness, charity, compassion and mercy. Then we find the total opposite. There's some Muslims who are very generous, very kind, very caring, very charitable, but unfortunately they don't pray. They think that because I'm giving this charity, or I'm doing this good action, this good deed, this will save me, or this will rescue me. Rather, we find that the Muslim has to combine both elements together. The Muslim has to know the rights which belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rights which belong to the people. And thus throughout the Qur'an, we find this combination of bringing the two together, of doing spiritual actions, and likewise the concept of belief and doing physical actions of helping other individuals around them. For example, the Qur'an mentions that those individuals who end up going into Jahannam, that there are certain characteristics of these individuals. The Qur'an mentions, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرُ. What has made you enter into Saqar? وَسَقَرْ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ جَهَنَّمْ. Saqar is from amongst the names of Jahannam. Then the sifat or the characteristics of these individuals are given. How come they've ended up landing up in Jahannam? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ حَتَّى أَتَانَ الْيَقِينَ. These are the sifat of these individuals. قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We never used to bother to offer the prayer or to pray. We never used to feed the poor individuals. So here you find the link between spirituality and physical action. Their neglection of the prayer meant their neglection of social service, of helping the people around them. Thus the end result, unfortunately, that these are the companions of Jahannam. Likewise, the opposite the Qur'an mentions. Who are the real believers? When the Qur'an talks about the muttaqoon, talks about the pious individuals, it begins to mention certain characteristics of these individuals. And once again, we focus upon certain characteristics and we miss the other characteristics of these individuals. The Qur'an mentions, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. Indeed, the muttaqeen, the pious individuals, will be inside gardens, will be surrounded by rivers, will be in a state of pleasure. أَخِذِينَ مَا آتَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. Taking that which their Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has given or bestowed upon them. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسِنِينَ. Before their entrance into paradise, what were the characteristics of these pious believers? كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسِنِينَ. Before they entered into paradise, they were individuals who were doing good deeds. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. Very rarely did they sleep at night. So this is the spirituality of their personal relationship towards or with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. In the early dawn, or just before Fajr time we find, or the last part of the evening, they are seeking the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then comes the other characteristics that some of us may have forgotten. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقُّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And there's a right for the people who ask and the people who don't ask. They search for the mahroom, they go and search those individuals who have a right towards their wealth. These are the complete characteristics of the believer, focusing upon spirituality and giving the rights which belong to the people as well. Likewise, you find inside Surah Ali Imran, talking about the individuals who are racing towards paradise. They are the individuals الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, spending in times of pleasure, in richness, and in times of adversity and difficulties. Those are the real believers. So once again, the Quran talks, these are the characteristics of the believers, whereby some of us will begin to fall short. When it comes to such characteristics, we begin to stay away from them. The Quran mentions, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You're never going to attain the real level of piety until you don't spend of the things that you love. And that's the Quran mentioned, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. It's not piety that you begin to turn your faces towards the east and the west. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. Indeed, piety, real piety, is that individual who believes in Allah, believes in the last day, believes in the books, believes in the messengers. And then comes the other characteristics. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. Person begins to spend of their wealth even though they have a love towards that wealth. Yani, upon ذَوِي الْقُرْبَ وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Upon those individuals who are the downtrodden, the destitute, the poor individuals, those in a disheveled state. And then the ayat, it continues until it concludes, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Those are the individuals who are the truthful individuals. And these are the individuals who are the pious individuals. That is what we want to remind ourselves about. The path of piety is not how many of us we seem to see that path, of just doing certain external actions. There are more deeper and hidden actions a Muslim needs to develop inside their life. Thus we find inside the Quran clear commandments and teachings. وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and associate no partners towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Any student of Quran understands the concept. After worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being sincere, being devoted, comes the second element of showing goodness and kindness towards one's parents. Then the ayat continues. That's something which may have become hidden from many of us. وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَ وَالْيَتَامَ وَالْمَسَاكِينِ. You show goodness to the poor individuals, those who are close to you, the masakeen, the destitute individuals, and the orphan individuals. That is the theme of the Quran, of bringing the element of spirituality and the practical implementation of living that life, or showing that devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards other individuals. Likewise, we find the Quran mentions, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. Have you seen the one who rejects the last day, the belief in the last day? How do we characterize? How do we recognize people who don't believe in the last day? They are those individuals who begin to repel, who begin to push away the orphan individual. كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. Indeed, the sifat of those individuals are those who don't show nobility, generosity, kindness to the orphan, to the poor individual. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. As for the orphan, don't push the orphan away. Don't be repulsive. Don't be a burden. Don't become an individual who makes the orphan feel in a regretful state for asking for wealth, etc. Likewise, you find, فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْأَقَبَى وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَ الْأَقَبَى. What will tell you what is the difficult path, the difficult path that a person has to tread upon their life. Till eventually you find, يَتِيمًا ذَا مَقْرَبَى. That's a path of difficulty, of freeing the slave, of finding the orphan, the destitute, and going out and trying to help those individuals. So many of us, we try to find the simple path, find the difficult path, whereby that path is not really difficult, but indeed the reward is immense for that individual who tries to seek that path. So our task is to begin to try to combine these elements of spirituality and likewise a practical action of taking care of a charity or taking care of an orphan, etc. Just like we have these actions in the depths of the night of seeking forgiveness and praying in the night, we're vigilant about such actions. These actions will help us. But likewise, there are other actions that in secrecy, the person spending of their wealth, sponsoring an orphan, taking care of an individual, these are all actions that also excel the individual inside the akhirah. And we all need to store some element of helping people and helping these individuals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid the blessings upon us, given them to us for a reason, that we may begin to use those blessings to spend them appropriately in the correct manner. So we find that in this surah, the case study of this surah that we find, both of these elements are brought together. Inside Surah Al-Duha, we want to just have a skim reading and a brief tafsir, for us to become familiar with this surah, whereby the element, the Quran, focuses upon spirituality and likewise brings the sunnah, the practical implementation of what the Prophet Muhammad went through in his life, is being displayed inside this surah, the tafsir or surah al-duha that we find. The morning light, the radiant glow, what many of us are searching for, of that tranquility, that peace, that light that will help us inside this dunya and even more so inside the akhirah. So you find that this surah, being a Meccan surah, in the final juz of the Quran that we find, some 11 ayat, we find that the reason for the revelation is surah. Many ulama tafsir have talked about various explanations. Some of them happen to be weak. That revelation, they stopped for a short while, so this surah came down. Some of them say there happened to be a dog inside the house of the Prophet Muhammad, inside, underneath his bed. That's why revelation, it stopped. And other reasons have been given as well. But that which is possibly the most accurate reason, which has been given inside the hadith, inside the sahih of Imam Bukhari and Muslim, is a woman one day made a comment to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that what has happened to your shaitan, trying to say that revelation is from the devil, etc. We have seen is not coming upon you in these last few days, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not get up for 1 or 2 days to offer the prayer, or revelation did not come to him. So she was trying to rebuke the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and indeed you find an ayat that came down and sent down upon the messenger, wa duha wa layli idha saja. مَا وَدَّعَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. The revelation came down by the dawn, by the morning light, by the night as it covers, it envelopes or it spreads. Indeed, your Lord has not forsaken you. Showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still there, helping and aiding and sending revelation down upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find that this, the waqt of duha that we find, is very important. This is the beginning, سَاعَ مِن سَاعَاتِ النَّهَارِ وَهُ صَدْرٌ Nahar, is the main beginning of the day that we find after Salatul Fajr, when the sun has risen by 10 or 15 minutes, you find the beginning of the dawn. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by many things, wal fajr, wal asr, wal layl, wal shams. We find different oaths have been taken inside the Quran, by the morning dawn, by the night, by the shams, wal qamar, by the sun, by the moon, wal asr, by time. What does all of this lead on to? First, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take an oath by anything He has created, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a creator. So He has every right to take an oath by whatever He has created. As for the human being, we can only take an oath by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not allowed for us to take an oath by the night, by the day, etc. It's only allowed to take an oath by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second sir, the second hidden element we find inside these time spans, is to avail one's time. Is to benefit one's time. Everything inside the Quran here, these words, the dawn, the night, the evening, the sun, the moon, the fajr time, the asr time, is all perspective of time. That a Muslim is the one who is vigilant of their time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the night and the day, liman arada an yadhakkara aw arada shukura. Night and day has been placed there. Whoever wants to show gratitude, whoever wants to pay heed. So the Muslim is the one who is vigilant of their night, their day, their time, everything that they're doing upon this earth to gain the maximum benefit. So that could be a hidden factor why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal-ilmu inda Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, has used these elements of time and day for us to ponder and to reflect and to avail this time. And likewise, the Quran on many occasions, it talks about people whilst in the time of duha are playing in jest and amusement, and then they're totally destroyed. Likewise, time of Musa alayhi salam, he told the people to come at when? The time of duha. It's a prime time that people gather together, possibly because the heat of the day is not so immense at that time, so it's easy to gather the people. All this is sir, hidden factors of pointing towards the importance of the waqt of Salatul Duha, which is now the spiritual concept. That Salatul Duha that we find was something which was emphasized and mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Find a hadith that every single joint of the body of the human being has to offer some form of sadaqah. How can we offer a form of sadaqah for the 360 odd joints, if not mistaken, that each body contains? How can we offer that? He mentioned 2 rak'ah of Salatul Duha will suffice, will cover you giving a form of sadaqah for every part of your body in a hadith inside Sahih Muslim. Likewise, when the messenger hatha Salatul Duha, he encouraged his companions to perform Salatul Duha. Because for many of us average Muslims, or those of us who become very technical, life for us becomes a technical aspiration at times. Go back to being a simple Muslim. doing the simple practices which have been encouraged inside the sunnah is a path of success. Thus we find such wording inside such a hadith that we find the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, awsani khalili bi thalathin. Indeed, my comrade, my beloved, my friend, close intimate friend, he advised me with three things that I should do inside my life. Amongst them we find was the performance of Salatul Duha inside the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. He advised another companion, Abu Darda, awsani habibi bi thalathin. He said, my beloved advised me to carry out three actions. Once again, amongst those three actions was the performance of Salatul Duha. Likewise, we find to pray witr before one, and he goes to sleep. Another companion in the hadith of Muslim Imam Ahmad that we find, Abu Dharr, says, awsani habibi, my beloved, or hubbi bi thalathin, the one that I love, advised me with three things. Amongst the advice that he gave to this companion was to pray Salatul Duha that we find. In various ahadith, we find various wordings, a minimum of 2 to 4 to a maximum of 8 raka'at of Salatul Duha that a person should perform, which begins after waqtu ghurub al-shams or tulu' al-shams, the beginning of the rising of the sun, till we find until just before al-zawal, waqtu al-zawal, by maybe half an hour or so before the sun comes to the middle of the day, etc. Then we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala, after talk about the night and the day, that we find indeed your Lord ma wadda'aka bima'na tarakaka ahmalaka, your Lord has not abandoned you, nor has your Lord forsaken you. Wa ma qala, and nor does your Lord, wa ma abghadaka, your Lord does not despise you or hate you or dislike you. So maybe the revelation had stopped, or maybe there was no contribution in the sense of wahi, so maybe the Prophet Muhammad felt that maybe I've been forsaken. But the Prophet Muhammad is the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most beloved individual to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forsake the messenger. He's not going to leave him in darkness. He's not going to become absent. He's not going to become away from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيْهِ فِي مَا نَعْلَمْ Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most beloved of creation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. Indeed, we find that what is latter is better for you than the beginning. The latter here is quite obvious. The hereafter, الدار الآخرة, is better for you than الحياة الدنيا, than the things of the dunya. That's the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always striving for the akhirah, never really lived for this dunya. Elements of the dunya were presented to him, were given to him, but he persevered and continued his journey to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to return back. Wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Carry on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until al-yaqeen comes to you, bima'na al-maut. That's the life of the believer. If there was any individual who's able to abstain from the ritual practices that we offer on a daily basis, it would have been the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he persevered. He was devoted. He was committed. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ اِعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُودَ شُكْرًا. O family of Dawood, show gratitude, show servitude. Indeed, few of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are grateful. And thus you find the best of the grateful servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is none other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's for giving you and reminding you that the hereafter is better than this dunya. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Indeed, we're going to give you something that will make you content, that will make you happy. Here you find different aqwal of the ulama. What has been given to the messenger that made him happy, made him pleased, has been given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amongst the things which have been given to him, أُعْطِيتَ أُعْطِيتُ خَمْسًا. Indeed, I've been given five things have been given to me, which were never given to any messenger before me. We find amongst those five elements, just to refresh our memory, is fear has been placed in the heart of the enemies by a journey of a month. Second, we find the whole of this earth has been made a place of a prayer, whereas previously prophets had to pray in a specific location, a specific area. Yes, for a Muslim, the best place is the masjid. But if it's not permissible or it's not possible, then the whole of this earth is a place of prayer for a Muslim, which was only given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like we find the ghanima, the booty, what we take from warfare, the blessings of warfare. Previously, The messenger is told to burn it, to destroy it, not to keep it. But as for the messenger, he's allowed to take the ghanima. Take the ghanaim has been permissible for the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and this ummah as well. The fourth thing that we find is ash-shafa'a, intercession. The greatest intercession is given to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ on the day of judgment. And likewise, we find the fifth blessing has been given to him. He has been sent to the whole of mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We do not send you except for mercy to the whole of mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ We do not send you except for a warner to the whole of humanity to give them glad tidings and to warn them. But most of mankind fail to understand this. The second blessing which has been given to him that made him happy and made him content, as the Quran mentions, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ Indeed, we've given you the seven oft-repeated verses and we've given you the magnificent Quran. The seven oft-repeated verses which have been given to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ are Surah Al-Fatiha has been given and bestowed upon the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Likewise, you find, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ Indeed, we've given you, أَعْطَيْنَاكَ, given you the blessing of the river in paradise. Likewise, we've given to you, شَهَادَةُ الرَّسُولِ عَلَى أُمَّتِهِ That this messenger has been made as a witness, as a testimony upon all nations, and this nation as well, which is a blessing given to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Likewise, you find Maqam Mahmud, the lofty position, the rank of Shafa'a, of opening the doors of paradise. These are all amongst the blessings which have been given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alam yajidaka yateeman fa'awa. Did we not find you as a yateem, as an orphan? We can even take this linguistically. This refers to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father passes away before his birth. His mother passes away at the age of approximately 6 years old. His grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, passes away at the age of 8. Then he's been taken care of by his uncle, Abu Talib. So his life went through. He physically felt the need of somebody to be with him, to take care of him. This is once again the hidden factor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed the Prophet Muhammad in such an environment that then he can begin to understand the feelings of the people around him, begin to understand the orphans which are around him, etc. So we find that the Quran mentioned fa'awa. It does not mention fa'awaka, that we made you, took you away from the state of being an orphan. Even though it's addressing the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, but to complete the context of the ayat, the rhythm of the ayat, that kaf, that khitab is removed, to complete the context of the ayat. And secondly, that there's going to be other people who are going to be orphans. That were they not orphans and we gave you contentment, we gave you richness, we gave you happiness, we gave you a better life, that this now khitab is for all of us. That those people in that state, it is our task to go and try to help these individuals. Thus we find from سَحْرَأْسَ الْيَتِيمِ وَعَطْئِمِ الْمِسْكِينِ Wipe over the head of the orphan and feed the poor and the destitute individuals. Even though this hadith is da'if in the Muslim Imam Ahmad, but the practice was there, that the Prophet Muhammad would wipe over the head of the orphan individual. What is authentically proven, أَنَا وَكَافِ الْيَتِيمِ لَهُ أَوْ لِغَيْرِهِ كَهَاتَيْنِ وَأَشَارَ بِالسَّبَّابَةِ وَالْوُسْطَى He said, I and the person who takes care of an orphan is like these two fingers, how close they are together. That's how close this individual will be with me on the day of judgment. So some of us may think, once again, as we began with different actions, why don't we think about such actions? You want to be close with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then begin to become one who takes care of an orphan. And you will be this close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًّا فَهَدَى We found you that you was misguided and then we guided you. What does it mean that we found you misguided? Obviously we cannot attribute misguidance to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. It's just a linguistic meaning of misguidance that you did not know what the right path was. It was a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of highlighting the right path and guiding the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to the path of Islam as the Quran mentions. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ We are the ones that guided you. You do not have knowledge of Iman or of the book, but we placed that inside your heart and we guided you to the straight path. So this is the meaning that you was misguided. You was astray. You did not know what the right path was. And likewise, every single one of us, we are misguided if we are not guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the ultimate blessing upon a Muslim, as the Quran mentions, Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana lihada, wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided us to this, the ni'mah of al-Islam. If we had not been guided, we would have been amongst the astray individuals. So this is another blessing, direct blessing to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise to the rest of us as well, that we have all been guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. We found you in a state of poverty, and then we made you rich. If we take the literal meaning, the richness that we find of Islam, of wealth. Wealth was given to the Muslim Ummah. Wealth was given in the conquest of Islam to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Even that view the ulama mentioned, works of tafsir, is weak, because this surah being a Meccan surah, the conquest of opening futuhat of the Islamic world and the empire and the world happened inside Medina. But still, we can still take that meaning literally, that contentment of richness of wealth has been bestowed immensely upon this Muslim Ummah even today. But if we take that hidden meaning, what is the real richness that the Muslim is searching for? إِنَّ الْمُرَادْ بِالْغِنَى هُنَا غِنَى النَّفْسِ. The meaning of richness is the richness of the soul. Contentment, qana'a, peace, spirituality, contentment inside the heart. That's what an individual is searching inside their life. That's the Quran mentions, the person who believes, whether male or female, and does righteous actions. فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Will give that individual a good life. The Quran mentions, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قَلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Indeed, the believers are those individuals who are searching for peace, for tranquility. Indeed, in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do hearts find tranquility and peace. So this is the real richness we have within our hearts, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you find that inside your heart, halawatul iman, the sweetness of faith. You find, what is the sweetness of faith as described by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You love Allah and His Messenger more than anything else. If you have that feeling inside your heart, you're not so worried about the people around you. All that you're seeking is a pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the pleasure of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are on a level of sweetness of iman. Likewise, you love your Muslim brother only for what? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no worldly interest or exchange of wealth or property. It's only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, you find that you hate to return back to kufr, or life of jahiliyyah, or becoming a Jew or a Christian, etc. You'd rather be thrown in the hellfire. If you have that feeling within yourself, that is halawatul iman. That is ta'amul iman. That is the sweetness of faith inside the heart of every single individual that we should be searching for inside our life. So this is, we found you in a state of poverty, and then we made you in a state of richness. So now what should a person do in return? If the person has been bestowed with these feelings and with these blessings, now we begin to take the practical steps that the Quran begins to tell us what we need to carry out doing inside our life. فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرُ. As for the poor individual, don't push the orphan away. Don't rebel, don't repel, don't push him away. Don't make him go away, the orphan individual. So practically, you lived your life as an orphan yourself, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, many of us, that we may live a life whereby we have richness. Now what should we do with the richness that we have inside our life? We should begin to show kindness and goodness towards these individuals. Likewise, we find, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرُ. As one who asks, don't push that individual away. Don't refuse that individual. Here the sa'il could be the ones who ask for al-mal or al-ta'am, ask for food, ask for wealth. Don't push these individuals away. You should give to them. As-sa'il قَدْ يَكُون بِمَعْنَى يَسْأَلْ عَنِ الْعِلْمِ. The sa'il could be a person who asks about knowledge as well. So how should a person, ahlul ilm, people of knowledge, how should they interact with the people, the subjects around them? A person who's got richness, should they become arrogant towards the people who are below them? Should a person who's been given position become arrogant with the people below them? Person sahibul ilm, should they become arrogant with the person around them? These are all hidden factors that some of us Muslims fail to understand. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is a virtue and a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives to whomever He wants. The more that you possess, the more responsibility. The more of your position, the more your responsibility. The more your ilm, the more your responsibility. That's how simple it is. Person doesn't become the opposite. With their wealth, becomes arrogant, becomes tyrannical. With their position, becomes arrogant and tyrannical. With their knowledge, becomes arrogant and tyrannical. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Show goodness just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed goodness to you. Those are the symbols
of a real Muslim, of at-tawadu', humility, humbleness, recognizing within themselves that these are all nothing but the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you read the famous hadith, the document inside Riyadu Salihin, talking about the three individuals, person suffering from no hair on his head, being a bald individual, person suffering from leprosy, person suffering from blindness. Read that hadith, refresh our memory. What do we find? Two of them becoming arrogant about this is something which we have every right to have this wealth, we inherit it from family upon family upon family. And what does that poor individual say, the angel in disguise? Was you not such and such an individual? Was you not such a poor individual? And then you bestowed with this, they became arrogant, they rejected it. But a person who's humble individual, recognize his blessings, what did he say? He said, take whatever you want to take, leave whatever you want to take. All of this is from the blessings of Allah. Go and tell your two friends that they failed the test. Indeed, you have become the successful individual in responding to the right understanding that a Muslim should do inside their life. Then comes the conclusion of the surah that you find. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. As for the blessings of your Lord, you should begin to enumerate and make mention of them. Obviously, we cannot count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You try to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot enumerate them. Like what you find inside Surah Ar-Rahman, some 80 odd ayat, 36 or 37 odd ayat, are once again saying what? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the blessings of your Lord will you both reject, both you, human being and jinn? How can you reject the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So one way of rejecting the blessings is by not mentioning them, by praising and thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a Muslim is one who's always thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. So umum, ni'mallahi ala shakhs. All of us have blessings upon us. Whether some of us, we may not be able to recognize those blessings, we have those blessings just by here being able to see and to visualize and to comprehend and to understand is probably one of the most ultimate blessings after the blessings of Islam. Likewise, find what should we do after mention making dhikr of these blessings? We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our tongues, we make mention of them, and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then becomes the physical action that we're trying to hint at. That some of us could just say, Alhamdulillah, I have these blessings. But the real mention of these blessings is the individual بِمُقْتَدَى يَنِي أَن تَعْمَلْ بِمُقْتَدَى هَذِهِ النِّعْمَةِ وَهَذِهِ النِّعْمَةِ. A person begins أَن تَعْمَلْ, begins to show physical action, physical work, physical contribution with the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to that individual. That is what we're trying to hint at from extracting from this surah. That don't just follow a path of spirituality, of becoming those individuals who do certain actions. Don't become the other half of the other Muslims that we find, who just do charitable actions but have no life of spirituality. Because some of those individuals have millions of pounds. For them to give £10,000 or £100,000, it's just like flicking a dime. That's what it is for them. We may think it's something immense. But for them to physically to start, or spiritually to begin to start praying five times a day, to avoid the haram, to stick to the halal, it's something very, very shaq. Something very difficult for those individuals to do. And it's very easy for them to give charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that doesn't mean we're demonizing them or saying they should not give charity. We're saying just like you want to save other individuals, try and save your own selves. And just like you want to try to save your own self, try to save other individuals as well via the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon all of us. So it becomes incumbent upon us to show gratitude verbally and practically. Thus we find in the statement, which has some da'af, some weakness inside it, مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ الْقَلِيلِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ الْكَثِيرِ. Whoever doesn't thank small amounts won't thank in great amounts. There's no point thanking in great amounts if you cannot be kind and gentle towards small amounts. In the Sahih Hadith, find لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Don't despise any form of charity. Whatever it may be, whether you meet your brother with a smiling face, whether it be half a date of charity, the Muslim does not despise it. The Muslim is one, any avenue, as we mentioned, of doing good, because as we know, that atom's weight of good could be what could rescue the individual to enter the individual into paradise. The atom's weight of evil could be, unfortunately, Allah forbid, that individual travels into the path towards Jahannam. So don't think always about lofty goals. Think about every goal, every opportunity inside your life is a taqarrub ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a way of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. in a sahih hadith that we find, authentic in hadith that we find in the Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi, whoever doesn't thank people doesn't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how simple it is. We try to separate the elements. I'm a good Muslim, I have a good creed, I have a good belief. To hell, excuse the expression, to hell with the people. Why should I bother about what's happening in the Muslim world at the moment? Maybe they've done something wrong, maybe the aqaid is corrupt, maybe they're full of innovations, maybe they've done this, maybe done that. Is that how a Muslim is? Is that how a Muslim sees things? Do you think those Muslims see it in that manner? Do you think these orphans or these children, they want to be in that state? Do you really think deep down inside your heart? Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned it around for us. How would we react? We could enter into a realm of maybe kufr, of disbelief, of ingratitude, of complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that why have you put me in such a position? At least some of these individuals have patience, they thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise we are only given success and victory via what? Via the supplication of the poor individuals. That's something to think about. Sometimes we may think that maybe certain individuals, we need this or we need that. It's only via the supplication of poor individuals we're given success and victory once again. Imagine that inside our lives, brothers and sisters, of doing some good action inside our life and leaving this dunya or not knowing who these individuals are. Imagine difficulties. We all face difficulties inside our life. This poor child, this poor individual. Praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever sent that wealth, whoever aided me, whoever sent that food, whoever supported me, whoever gave me clothing, oh Allah, bless that individual. Imagine that. Don't we all want such a supplication inside our life? That's a supplication that will go direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person in their dire need, in their state, is praying for us. That is something that can help us throughout our life. Likewise, we find all of our actions come to a standstill, except for ongoing charity that we do. These are all charitable causes. We leave this dunya. You want something to benefit you, then try to get involved in some form of charitable service. Yes, some of us may not leave behind righteous children. Some of us may not leave behind some knowledge. But all of us have avenues of sponsoring a child. You know, if you go and look and search, it possibly only costs at times maybe £5 a month to take care of an orphan. That's not much. But those small actions that we do will be helping that individual and be helping us where in this dunya and inside the akhirah as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to understand the rights, the regulations that belong firstly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then to visualize those rights and those regulations in a practical sense, to see the rights of the people around us. And to begin to take care of the people around us. It is an ultimate form of da'wah, of entering into the hearts and the minds of the people, is via serving the people. Whoever serves the people is indirectly serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we said in the Day of Judgment. Whoever gave water to a person, then that person will be given water on the Day of Judgment. Whoever fed a person, whoever clothed a person, will be given better clothing, better food on the Day of Judgment. And we know the food and the clothing on the Day of Judgment, the water and the drink, is something unimaginable that a Muslim can never imagine. Like whoever gives shelter, protects a person, will be given protection and shelter where? Inside the Akhirah. Why don't we want to seek that protection? Why don't we seek that shelter? Why don't we want those blessings? Why do we want to cling to the blessings of this dunya and fall short inside the Akhirah? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to strive and struggle until the day that we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we see the meagerly actions we do upon this dunya, that they are multiplied for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to become an immense reward for all those individuals behind the scenes who are helping the helping the poor individuals, the destitute individuals, showing kindness and spending their time, their wealth and their money for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are unaware to us. We have just become people who are aware inside our community. Those who are unaware, bless those individuals, raise their ranks. And our rank is our rank in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which counts for all of us. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَرَكُ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ.